The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. And for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974 and underwriting this podcast for over 10 years. Thank you, Carter Glass. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. And now we return to the December 2020 issue of Our State magazine celebrating North Carolina. The theme this month is Handmade Holiday and 10 Local Galleries for One-of-a-Kind Gifts. I want to start out, just so that we don't miss this, with a to-do list for December, because some of these dates are either very close or maybe even have gone by, but hopefully we'll be able to catch them in case you are interested. Give, make, see, and celebrate what North Carolina has to offer this month. See holiday lights. These light shows are a festive way to celebrate the most wonderful time of year. So if you've got somebody in the family who can drive and wants to take the family together to an out-of-town location to see some lights, here's some suggestions. Blowing Rock. That's a little bit of a haul. Festival of Lights from dusk to midnight. The grounds of Chitola Resort will be illuminated with more than 26,000 lights. Tour the joyful displays from a car or on foot for free, November 30th to January 31st. Chitola.com/festival-of-lights. Denton, Christmas on the Farm. A country light display at Denton Farm Park is bound to bring visitors an extra dose of good cheer. Drive through the light show and pick up a snack from a food truck or a handmade goodie from the craft barn along the way. Well, let's see. What dates have not occurred yet? We're doing this for the 8th, so maybe if you're listening carefully, the 10th through 13th they're open, the 18th to the 23rd, and the 26th and 27th. DentonFarmPark.com. How about Wilmington? Always a great place at Christmas. Enchanted Airlie. Airlie Gardens will welcome guests for its 15th holiday season with a new feature this year, one-hour timed tickets. Guests can enjoy a self-guided tour of the garden's lights and music. Outside food and beverages are allowed, and they will be running from through the 22nd of November, from whatever time you hear this. And they are at Airlie Gardens, that's A-I-R-L-I-E, gardens.org. Here's a couple of other things. A tour of the intricate gingerbread houses, plural, Asheville. This year, the public can view the Omni Grove Park Inn's National Gingerbread Competition, the largest in the world, from the comfort of their homes. The finalists will be announced on Facebook and Instagram December 1st through 12th. For more information, visit Facebook.com/Omni Grove Park Inn or Instagram.com/Omni Grove Park. New Bern. The New Bern Historical Society's 4th annual gingerbread house contest comes with no fees, no forms, and no categories. Enter your creation in the contest by December 12th, gotta hurry, or simply view the houses on the Historical Society's Facebook page. Visit newbernhistorical.org. National Gingerbread Competition, it says, I guess maybe that's labeling a picture here, which shows quite an elaborate gingerbread house. It's hard to believe this is made of gingerbread. There's a house and a little bicycle, and there's a bus or a trolley, I guess. It says Old Town Trolley on the front of it, with even a little grassy section on top with a fence, and looks like there's a dog or something inside. Give the gift of kind words. Like so many North Carolinians, Grace Brookshire spent the first half of the year figuring out how to adjust to our new normal. Brookshire lives in Wilmington, wanted to reconnect with people and share some joy along the way, so she used her talents as an artist to launch a greeting card subscription service called Reconnect Card Company. Every month, subscribers receive a 5x7-inch print designed by a different artist with a note of encouragement written on the back. The cards provide an opportunity for senders to reconnect with old friends or simply send a hug long distance. Brookshire says, Reconnect launched in August with a print by Brookshire, featuring an illustration of a moon peeking out from behind three house-colored hillsides. On the back, the note explains that the image is a reminder to look up to the stars and know that we're all in this together. For more information, visit reconnectcardco.com. And finally, from our little introductory section here, make eggnog two ways. It's beginning to taste a lot like Christmas. Toast to a holly jolly season with our classic eggnog, for adults only, and our kid-friendly eggnog milkshake. Give these tasty treats a stir with a peppermint stick and top it off with a dollop of whipped cream and freshly grated nutmeg. I don't have the recipes here, but you can find them at ourstate.com/eggnog. Recipes. And now a handmade holiday. Popsicle sticks and pipe cleaners, clothespins and construction paper, made with love by little hands. The most precious ornaments cost almost nothing, but the memories they hold are priceless. Written by Susan Stafford Kelly. Here's a familiar one from my childhood. The ornaments on the following pages have been proudly displayed on our state staff Christmas trees for years. We'd love to see your handmade treasures. Send photos and memories to editorial@ourstate.com. And the picture here, which I thought they were going to explain, is that of three popsicle sticks glued together in the middle, and then they're covered by colored buttons and little glass jewels. You've got a special box for them, right? No, not the box with the shiny breakable balls, not the one with a carved wooden reindeer, the metal choo-choo, the tin star, the porcelain cardinal, or the clear icicles of glass, not even the one with the leg lamp from A Christmas Story. The beautiful, professional, perhaps costly factory-manufactured tree trinkets. Little hands and stubby fingers can't make those kind of ornaments. Decades ago, or maybe just last year, a little person sat in a small chair at a kindergarten table, or a Sunday school class, or a scout meeting and made an ornament. Careful as they could, they glued red rickrack on a white styrofoam ball. They circled it with stick-on stars that usually went on good behavior charts and added bright sequins stuck through with straight pins. They brought it proudly home for you and picked the perfect branch on the tree from which to hang their creation front and center. A decade later, or maybe just last year, they pronounced their handiwork pathetic or embarrassing. Yet there it is, saved by you, front and center on the tree. There's the brown construction paper triangle of a reindeer face with an off-center googly eyes, and a red pom-pom nose hanging literally by a thread. Wouldn't you know those antlers anywhere? The 10-finger handprints of a 4-year-old pressed to a puddle of paint. There's the gold mason jar lid doing double duty as a picture frame from which an Oshkosh overalled nursery schooler shyly grins. The snowman that's more cotton balled blob, less fluffy than stiff with paste, than front yard frosty. The pine cone, clumsily smeared in peanut butter, rolled and crusted with bird seed, has long since been devoured by feathered friends outside, and attic mice have gnawed at the painted pasta stars and berries on the construction paper Christmas tree and wreath. The candy canes that served as runners on the sled whose reins were made with licorice whips barely made it home from carpool. But you've got the paper chain with interlocking red and green rings, which spans about a foot of fur, and the toy soldier made from a clothespin dipped in black paint for his boots, whose position on the tree that first graders change daily. And pipe cleaners last forever, thank goodness, so the angel made of bunched and rubber-banded gold tulle still has her halo. A felt gingerbread man whose front and back are sewn together with thick red yarn and irregular, oversized stitches is still as plump with batting as he was when the teacher helped your youngest thread the blunted needle. Never mind the missing button eye. As a crafty child, I was always envious of classmates who could accordion fold and snip, snip, just so, producing a paper chain of hand-holding angels or lacy, connected snowflakes. They probably grew up to be engineers. But I wouldn't trade an origami of lords a-leaping for the manger with crossed popsicle sticks for legs and strands of straw glued perfectly perpendicular to the cradle's edge. More bed of thorns than swaddle. And there's intricacy enough in the God's eye of sparkly red, green, and white yarn wound over and under and through another set of X'd popsicle sticks, and the stained glass window of crayon shavings melted with a warm iron between wax paper sheets, then stapled to a construction paper arch. It takes some fourth-grade talent in art class to use a vegetable peeler to select the right color crayons so as not to wind up with an opaque, purple-brown muddle of wax. A bell, a star, a bow. Would Christmas even come without construction paper? A little faded, a little tattered, a little ragged round the edges, and okay, perhaps a little pitiful, a little laughable. But you'd take that glitter-crusted, glue-cotted sheep or teddy bear, that popsicle stick Mary wrapped in a pink-sheared blue fabric square, her face with its crooked smile over any machine-made Madonna with a beatific face. Oh, that's a beatific face. "Never you mind," you said then, when the kindergartner fretted over the lopsided eyes. "Never you mind," you say now, when that grown child calls his handiwork embarrassing. Because those gifts of childhood still and will forever, eternal as Christmas itself, hang front and center on the tree boughs. Because while little hands can't manage perfection, they make a memory worth preserving. And because there's nothing breakable about those humble handmade ornaments, except when it comes to your heart. You are listening to Our State Magazine and the North Carolina Reading Service. If you have any questions and comments, call the studios, 919-832-5138. And now, Christmas on the farm, an Onslow County couple turned their passion for agriculture and love of North Carolina into Mike's Farm, a holiday destination for families across the state. Sometimes you don't know what you don't know until you act. Take Mike and Teresa Lowe. Though they dated all through high school, when he asked her if she'd marry him, Teresa wanted to think about it overnight. "I didn't know if I knew what love was or not," she says. The next morning, Mike called her on the phone. "Did you decide?" he asked. "Well," Teresa said, "I reckon I will." After 45 years of marriage, here they are, ribbing each other about who remembers the story better. A few years later, the same sort of don't-know-what-you-don't-know-till-you-act situation presented itself to a pair of lifelong Onslow Countyans. Mike was working at DuPont, and Teresa was working at the airport when Mike got the notion to come back and stir the dirt again, he says. As a boy, He'd worked his father's tobacco farm in the back swamp community near Richlands, and he just plain liked farming and the smell of dirt. He planted some corn and beans on the family land, and Teresa hatched the idea to make a few extra dollars with a Christmas tree crop. Yes, in Onslow County, not on the high elevation slopes of western North Carolina. We grew Virginia pines, Mike says, and shakes his head. Aggravating trees. Pretty, but they tend to lean. We didn't even think about how we'd sell them, and didn't know the Nantucket pine tip moth loves them either. Every evening after their regular work day, Mike and Teresa would walk the trees. While his pals spent their days off hunting and fishing, Mike was spraying, shearing, and fertilizing. I just wanted to be here, he says. Teresa, meanwhile, was in the treetops. Literally. To trim them, she learned to walk on drywall stilts. Mike built some furniture, and Teresa fashioned some Christmas ornaments for a small gift shop they opened on a whim, the Saturday before Thanksgiving in 1986. People came. You know, Mike says, wonderingly, it did well. In 1990, more than 1,400 trees sold, and that was when we realized how important the military is. In nearby Jacksonville, Marines were deployed to Desert Storm, and having a Christmas tree was vital to families back at Camp Lejeune. We ran out of trees, Mike says, but the pair were already old hands at making things work. We take the bottom of a Virginia pine, drill a hole in the trunk, and put the top of a white pine in it to make a full tree. The labor necessary to succeed was so enormous that the couple was faced with a decision. Keep their jobs or cultivate Christmas trees full time. Mike left DuPont in 1991, and we still didn't know what we were doing, he said. People thought we were crazy to make a living just on trees. Maybe for a good reason. A very pregnant Teresa was trimming treetops when her water broke. Unable to locate Mike on the farm, she drove herself to the hospital to deliver their daughter, Caitlin. And on the way, she stopped at the florist to order herself 2 dozen pink roses. Some nights they worked until dawn, sawing holes in walls at 2 a.m. to enlarge the gift shop. A theme developed: when a need arises, handle it yourself. Trees were fine for the winter season, but we needed the money to run through our fingers the rest of the year, too, Teresa says, so she put in strawberry plants. Apple trees came next, 300 of them. Decades on, we have one left, Mike says. They're not so happy here. Blight got them. We were stupid that way. You have to admire their determination, though, their gumption to keep on keeping on. And when you've got strawberries and apples and 2 or 3 acres of pumpkins and you love experimenting in the kitchen as Teresa does, you might as well make some strawberry jelly and apple butter and pumpkin pies to sell. And still, we didn't know what we were doing, Teresa says. Those first years we bought pumpkins from Iowa. That's the road we had to go down to get here. Jelly in the gift shop was fine, but other sweet goods required a bona fide bakery, which came along in 1994. Then, 5 years later, why did we build the restaurant? Mike rhetorically asks. Because I wanted to, Teresa says, and because with school groups visiting the pumpkin patch and folks taking hay rides, the families making the farm a tradition. Christmas tradition, people got hungry and started asking whereabouts they could find a bite to eat. And when the restaurant began to have to turn away overflow crowds, they first doubled the size of the dining room and then, in 2002, added the banquet room for additional seating. Wouldn't you know that couples then began asking if they could have their wedding reception at Mike's farm. So up went the barn, reached by curving walkways, welcoming with grapevine and burlap wreaths on the door to accommodate 200 in its warm wooden interior. Later, lovebirds wanted to have their wedding ceremonies on the grounds, and here came the deck, an intimate outdoor space, secreted with vines and pines and magnolias. Soon, Mike's farm found that it had become one of Onslow County's top attractions. To show their appreciation for all of North Carolina, the Lowes decided to give the rest of the state a say somewhere. Enter the most recent addition to the farm, the North Carolina Products Barn, built in 2019, that features handmade goods representing all of the state's 100 counties, so you can shop local from Alamance to Yancey while standing in Onslow. In the light-filled expanse beneath a restored Farmall tractor displayed high in the loft, vintage pie safes and hutches and chests hold oyster shuckers, salsas, cornmeal, muscadine juice, jewelry, peanuts, pottery, pillows, pipes, photography, soap, socks, and hand-carved pens, hand-loom throws, hand-tooled leathers, and hand-lettered cards. At one end of the barn, sample North Carolina wines. At the other, sip artisanal coffee with a piece of fudge in every flavor and color at a counter created especially by Artisan Leaf in Wilson. Yet that's just the bare bones, Dirt to Barn's origin story of Mike's farm. Every endeavor, every addition bears the stamp of Mike and Teresa's devotion to detail and constant hands-on work. Walking through the bakery, Teresa stops to straighten a canister, stoops to retrieve a speck of trash behind the counter. Mike's sister rolls her eyes at a perfectionism she's come to expect. She manages the bakery that sells Mike Farm's signature 10-layer cakes, a confection of thin layers covered in scratch-made icing so gorgeously drippy, so generously pooled on the platter that it's no wonder the family sells hundreds in a single holiday season. On the vast front porches, dozens of rocking chairs are lined up beneath hanging ferns that Mike and the staff rotate daily, carefully picking off any less than perfect fronds. Because when that first crisp day arrives each year, the customers start coming. School groups and seniors and families and civic groups and campers from as far away as Nebraska and as nearby as Wallace. They arrive for hayrides and dinner shows, shopping and pumpkin picking, Santa visits and light displays, animal petting and eating. Believe it. On any given Saturday, the restaurant serves more than 1,000 people. The only meal is supper, served family style, in bowls for the table. Dishes are simple and homemade from Teresa's own recipes. Roasted pork loin, fried chicken, creamed potatoes, corn, green beans, plain and country ham biscuits, banana pudding, strawberry shortcake, and pumpkin pie. Oh, and don't forget the meal's main attraction, the macaroni and cheese, is a dish so famous, so delicious. Baking instructions that read, "Cheese will be stringy in the center," is a good indicator that the wait time for a table can stretch to 5 hours. True to form, the couple has added a food truck so folks can easily get their mac and cheese. Mike is partial to pork gravy poured over his, and picnic on the grassy grounds. Though the restaurant, divided into decor-themed areas called the Shed, the Barnyard, and the General Store, closes at 8 p.m., it stays open and serves as late as it takes to get everyone fed. Mike and Teresa stay as late as it takes, too, 7 days a week, working until 1 a.m. and back at 6 a.m. Teresa's pedometer has clocked 25,000 steps in a single day during the holiday season. Many years their Christmas tree is at home, or at home, if they had a tree at all, was never decorated beyond a single baby's first Christmas ornament. "We've never, in 35 years, gone anywhere on the weekend," Mike says. "We will not leave this place. If we're open, we're here. If we go somewhere during the week, we realize this is where we want to be. We're just country people." The couple has come a long way from drywall stilts and a notion to stir the dirt, but they're still doing, still thinking, still growing. Teresa has been experimenting with cheesecakes for the bakery, and she dreams of adding an upscale mini golf course. "I haven't talked to Mike into that," she says, giggling. "Meanwhile, you can walk over the covered bridge or check on the goats or have your picture taken behind the scene with a farmer with a cutout face, or just sit in a rocker and enjoy the farm until supper's ready." Mike and Teresa have it all in hand. Mike's farm is at 1600 Howe Branch Road in Beulahville, North Carolina. Mike's Farm.com. www.thebrightside.com. And now, how about a few questions from the holiday cheer quiz? Oh, my goodness, that means I'm going to have to find the answers because I don't know where they are. Oh, the answers are upside down on the page. Well, we'll see how I do here. One, the top five Christmas tree producing counties in our state are Allegheny, Ashe, Avery, Jackson, and Watauga. Which county, whose seat is Jefferson, leads the way with 1,200 acres of trees, Avery, Jackson, or Ashe? And the answer is Ashe. North Carolina Christmas tree growers produced a variety of species on more than 38,000 acres annually. Which is the most popular type? A Fraser fir, a white pine, or a Norway spruce? The answer is a Fraser fir. The North Carolina Christmas Tree Association takes part in the National Trees for Troops program, which provides Christmas trees to military service members. ROTC student volunteers from Ashe and Avery counties help out with the program. What does ROTC stand for? Reserve Officers Training Corps, Reserve Officers Technical College, or Reserve Officers Training Career? And the answer is a Reserve Officers Training Corps. North Carolina-grown Christmas trees have been showcased in Washington, D.C. 13 times since 1991. Which building in our nation's capital has displayed our state's trees? The U.S. Capitol, the White House, or the Smithsonian? And the answer, of course, is the White House. Christmas trees are the largest crop in Allegheny County. The Allegheny Christmas Tree Association is headquartered in which town that got its name from a city-state in ancient Greece? Carthage, Troy, or Sparta? I think I know that one. Sparta! Huckleberry Finn is not on the staff, but Tom Sawyer. Christmas Tree Farm in Elf Village is owned by, well, Tom Sawyer. This farm is located 6 miles north of Cashiers in Jackson County and overlooks which lake, Lure, Glenville, or Wiley? And that is going to be Glenville Lake. Helms Christmas Tree Farm has been in business for about 50 years and offers Fraser firs, Leyland cypress, and Colorado blue spruce. This farm is located near Vail in which Piedmont County? Randolph, Person, or Lincoln? And if you said Randolph or Pearson, you would be wrong. It is Lincoln. Let's see. I guess we have to cut it there. We are just about out of time now for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I hope you enjoyed it and that you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can reach at 919-781-1973. The content of this program was intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Our State Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call the studios, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.